Jesus' disciples were a diverse group. You think about, you know, we know Peter, bluff, blunt, get right to it, Peter. But there's also scholarly Levi. And there's Greek-oriented Philip. There's merchants and fishermen. And if you pay attention, there are female disciples too who follow Jesus. And they come from all over them. Some of them are wealthy women. Some, like Mary Magdalene, have been recovered off a life in the streets where she had been outcast because she was demon-possessed. Jesus embraced that diversity and called them all to be his disciples. And in today's gospel, he prays that they may be one just as he and the Father are one. Now think about that for a minute. Jesus doesn't have to give up being himself in order to be one with the Father. No, he is fully himself in his full divinity and in his full humanity. He is fully himself, and he brings that wholeness of who he is into his union with the Father. The disciples don't have to give up their individuality in order to be one either. They are called to unity, not uniformity. In today's gospel, Jesus prays not just for the disciples around him, but for those who will believe through their word. He looks beyond the diverse group in front of him and envisions the people from other countries and cultures who will come to believe. The book of Acts tells the stories of some of those people, tells the story of the church beginning to spread out and addressing this question of who belongs. And we see people from all over the world coming into the Christian community. Not just Jews, but Gentiles. And boy, did the church have a struggle over that one. But Roman soldiers and female cloth merchants, as we heard last week about Lydia, a seller in purple, and prophets and jailers, people from all over, different languages, different ethnicities, and even an Ethiopian eunuch, different in gender from the majority of the worshipers. Jesus looks forward to this amazingly diverse group, and he prays that they all may be one, just as he and his Father are one. Now, I know that all of you around here have had the experience of driving our highways, and you're driving along and you see, like, for example, if you're going down to the Hasita Head Lighthouse, you pass through that beautiful forest there. That's a much older growth forest, right? And then you drive along Highway 126, or you drive along Highway 20, and you pass tree farms. Can you tell the difference? Like immediately, right? There's a big difference between a tree farm and an old growth forest. You look at a tree farm, and almost all the trees are the same kind. And they're just about all the same height. I mean, so much so that the branches are like sticking out at the same angle, right? Whereas an old growth forest is made up of an immense variety of trees. There may be some kinds, some varieties that dominate, but they are not exclusive. There's varieties of trees, and there are shrubs, and there are vines, and there are flowering plants mixed in there. Just a week or so ago, Brian and I went for a hike down there to the Hasita Head Lighthouse through that beautiful forest. And, you know, here's little wild irises growing, and there are ferns, and there are rhodies, and here's the giant spruce trees, and there are undergrowth shrubs. It's a whole vibrant living ecosystem. A tree farm, which has its place. I'm not going to, you know, just completely diss tree farms, but let me, which one's more beautiful, people? Right? One is about uniformity. The same kind of trees, all the same age. The other is about unity. A huge diversity, all interacting in harmony to form a healthy living ecosystem. It's all the varieties together, and they're all vital for the beauty and health of the whole. Too often, the church has been guilty of tree farming instead of cultivating healthy forests. We've insisted that everyone be the same. And we've only really welcomed and encouraged those who look like and act like the majority of the people here. That is our sad history. And too often, in our own Episcopal churches past, and still in many places in the church in the present, people who belong to the LGBTQIA community have even been treated not just as unwelcome, but as evil. Today's passage from Acts might frankly be triggering for some members of that community. I know of people who've been prayed over that the demon of their sexual orientation or the demon of their gender orientation would be cast out. Because the assumption that other Christian people have made is that they could only be acceptable to God if they didn't have that gender identity, if they didn't have that sexual orientation. And that has been the church's great sin and failure, to fail to see people as beloved as they are, as God has made them to be. You know, in today's passage in Acts, the exorcism that Paul performs is not an attempt to change the girl's essential nature. It doesn't change who she is. In her case, she has been possessed by something that is not her. And her owners have been profiting off her misery and her suffering. She's been controlled by something that's not herself. And what Paul does when he casts that demon out is he frees her to be her authentic self, to be who she truly is. That's what God wants for each of us. To be freed, to be fully, authentically ourselves. And thank God, in the Episcopal Church, we have come to recognize that gay people were made by God to be gay. That lesbians were made by God to be lesbians. That intersex people are authentically themselves created that way, born that way. That non-binary and trans people know truly who they are. And now may have the freedom to be able to express themselves truly as they are. And God welcomes each one of us in our individuality. God loves each one of us in our individuality. And God wants to free each one of us to live fully, authentically as ourselves. And to know that God loves each one of us as we are. Just as God loves Jesus. Did you catch that line in the gospel? It is, to me, one of the most stunning lines in all of Scripture. Jesus prays that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you love me. Just wrap your mind around that for a while. Jesus loves you. God loves you. Each one of you in your individuality, just as God the Father loves Jesus. You could spend a lifetime trying to absorb that, couldn't you? And yet, that's what Jesus wants the whole world to be able to see when they look at Jesus' followers. Our belovedness. And that's what our love for each other is supposed to show the rest of the world. You know, the LGBTQIA community some time ago chose the rainbow as their symbol, right? Rainbow flag. Now, if you reflect on a rainbow, you think about it, that what appears to be clear or white light is refracted in a rainbow, so that the range of colors that make up that light become visible. A rainbow embodies variety and beauty, unity in diversity, and diversity in unity. The diversity is always there, that whole spectrum of colors, but we don't always perceive it. What's included in the spectrum of light, frankly, goes beyond what we can see with our eyes. It's not just the visible colors of the rainbow, but ultraviolet and infrared and more. For many years, we didn't have the technology to identify the parts of the spectrum that aren't visible to the naked eye. But they were there all along. We just couldn't see them. In all likelihood, there are forms of light that we haven't yet detected. But they're all part of the whole, aren't they? They exist whether we see them or not. Outside our church, we fly a Progress Pride flag. And if you've looked at it, you see that it incorporates not only the traditional colors of the rainbow, but pink and white and blue. And that's for the trans community and for cisgender people, so that we're all embraced, and non-binary people. It includes two, black and brown, as well as white. Because over time, the LGBTQIA community began to recognize that in their celebration of diversity, they weren't always being diverse enough. They weren't recognizing people of other ethnicities besides white. And so now the flag communicates that too. And it includes a circle for people who are asexual. Because all of us together are part of the full spectrum. All of our colors, all of our sexualities, all of our genders, together we make up humanity. And together we make up God's beloved community. God loves each one of us. We're all necessary for the health of the whole. The unity that Jesus prays for embraces all the colors and possibilities of people, not by requiring everyone to be the same, to quit being who they are. No, but by including and celebrating the unique beauty, the individual gifts of each person, by inviting each person to shine brightly as their authentic self, inviting each person to love the others and to work together with the others, and for all of us as a beautiful community of love to make up a healthy, vibrant whole. May the Spirit of God work in us that our community and our lives might bear witness that God loves each of us and God loves all of us just as God loves Jesus. Amen.